Hit it, Phil.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Can it be the breeze that fills the trees with rare and magic perfume? Oh, no. It isn't the breeze. It's Jackson time. La-da-da-da.
Hello again. This is Buck Benny bringing you another episode of the Jack Benny Show from, 60 years ago this week. And this episode has the lunch counter murders that, or the lunch counter murder, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, it later becomes, it stars Richard Whitmark as the guest on tonight's show, who was also on our suspense episode a couple weeks ago, I think. And Richard Whitmark is a famous actor, lots of movies, just very respected actor, and was on this episode of the Jack Benny Show, which later came to television as a television episode, and it's one of the easiest episodes to find. It's on the internet. It's a lot of the sets include this episode. But in the episode for television, it's Dan Duryea who plays in that episode. And he's a famous television actor, lots of westerns and that sort of thing on television. I will say, it's interesting because it's never, the television version has never been one of my favorite episodes of the Jack Benny Show. It just kind of, I don't know, seems to plod along. Dennis is in it and everything, and it works. It's okay to watch, but the radio episode just has a lot more comedy bite to it, I think, and the fact that it's got Phil Harris in it really helps out, and just a really nice piece. So I hope you enjoy that part tonight. It's interesting that Phil was able to do it, because at this point, of course, he's running across the street halfway through the Jack Benny Show, usually to get to his show. And in this case, he's in the latter part of the episode. So I don't know quite how he does it on his episode. It'll be interesting tonight to listen to both the Phil Harris show and Jack's show to kind of hear how Phil's show starts out and see if it starts out a little rocky or not, because Phil would have had to have been running kind of late from Jack's show this time. But we'll see how that goes. And next season it'll be interesting because they move Phil's show to a half hour later time slot, which gives it more cushion after Jack's show. So there shouldn't be this running back and forth thing as much. At some point they transcribe the episodes, and so when are the episodes being taped and that sort of thing also has to do with how much pressure there is on Phil to have to run to his show or not. If they're taping it a totally different day or something, then there shouldn't be a huge issue. But anyway, we will, I hope you've been enjoying the Phil Harris show with Alice Faye and of course Elliot Lewis as well. Elliot sometimes is on Jack's show, you know, and he was on a few weeks ago on Jack's show. I was just thinking about this week, what an interesting career he had. He was like, at this point, he's producing Suspense, which is one of the prestige episode shows on all of radio. He's starring with Phil Harris in the Phil Harris and Alice Faye show, and he's occasionally making guest appearances on the Jack Benny show. I just don't know how you get any bigger than that. And here in a couple seasons, he'll have his own show with his wife that's aired every week, where he stars as different characters. He was just an A-lister who could get anything done at this point. If he just said he wanted to do it, I think they were just like, okay, go for it. And I think it's interesting to think of being at the top of your game in the mid-50s on radio, because radio is going to get wiped out. It's like being the best vaudeville performer in 1930 or 31. right as the wave from radio is going to wipe out all vaudeville. So, anyway, enjoy this episode, and we will see you next time.
65.
The Jack Benny Program, transcribed, presented by Lucky Strike.
Be happy, go lucky, be happy, go lucky strike, be happy, go lucky strike today.
A flying saucer came to Earth, so ends a mystery. For out jumped 20 men who said smoke LSMFT.
If you've been missing smoking joy and really want some fast, switch right to milder Lucky Strike for pleasure that will last.
Be happy, go lucky, be happy, go lucky strike, be happy, go lucky strike today.
Enjoy your cigarette. Enjoy truly fine tobacco that combines both perfect mildness and rich taste in one great cigarette, Lucky Strike. For only fine tobacco gives you both perfect mildness and rich taste. And LSMFT, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. So, friends, be happy, go lucky. Try a carton of Lucky Strike.
Be happy, go lucky, be happy, go lucky strike, be happy, go lucky strike today.
The Lucky Strike program starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. Ladies and gentlemen, it's evening at the Benny household. Jack has just finished dinner and now is in the kitchen helping Rochester with the dishes.
You enjoy your dinner, Rochester? Well, that ought to be enough water, Rochester.
Yes, sir. By the way, boss, it's awful nice of you to help me with the dishes tonight.
Well, after all, Rochester, it's your birthday and your friends are giving you a party. I know you want to get away. By the way, how old are you today?
43.
Gee, 43.
Yep.
What are you laughing at?
It's hard to believe that when I first started working here, I was younger than you.
Yeah. Now, hand me the silver and I'll dry it.
Here you are. Say, boss, you've got some new silverware, haven't you?
What do you mean?
Well, look at this fork. On the back it says Romanoff's.
Oh. Oh, well, that's a family heirloom given to me by my Aunt Harriet. Harriet Romanoff.
Oh. Well, what about this spoon here? It says Chasen's.
Oh, I got that from another aunt of mine, Matilda Chasen.
Yeah. Oh. Say, boss, this fork here, was that given to you by... No, I'm not going to ask you.
What?
I know you haven't got an aunt named Pig and Whistle.
Oh, yes, I have, Rochester. She was married twice to Sam Pig and Joe Whistle. Now, leave me alone. Rochester, answer the door, will you, please?
Yes, sir. Oh, hello, Miss Livingston.
Hello, Rochester. Happy birthday, and here's a little gift for you. Some cufflinks.
Well, thanks. Thanks very much. Come on in.
Where's Mr. Benny?
He's helping me with the dishes.
Oh. What'd he give you for your birthday?
Miss Livingston, he gave me a gift worth $2,400.
What? Mr. Benny gave you a gift worth $2,400? How come?
Well, as Mr. Benny explained to me, he's a great artist on the radio and gets $12,000 for his broadcast.
Uh-huh.
The broadcast is only 30 minutes long, which means he gets $400 per minute.
Uh-huh.
And by giving me 6 minutes of his time to help me with the dishes, I'm getting the equivalent of $2,400.
What?
If you don't get out the kitchen soon, I'll be in the higher brackets.
Oh, hello, Mary.
Don't speak to me. I can't afford it.
What are you talking about?
Nothing. Jack, I came over to ask you if you'd like to come to my house tonight. I'm having some friends over, and we're going to play Canasta.
Oh, I'd love to, Mary, but tonight I'm going to stay home and look over the script of my second television show.
Oh, that reminds me. Mama saw your first one.
She did? Your mother?
Mm-hmm. And I got a letter from her this morning. I have it right here.
Oh, what does Plainfield's Edge of Doom have to say?
I'll read it to you.
Well, go ahead, kid.
My darling daughter, Mary, just a few lines to let you know that we all saw Jack's first television show and liked it very much.
Gee.
When Jack came out on the stage and stood there with that devil-may-care attitude, he reminded me of Francis X. Bushman.
Well...
Jack's performance was so nonchalant, so casual, and so relaxed, we all fell asleep.
What?
In the time it took him to say hello again, this is Jack Benny, Milton Berle would have given us 3 guest stars.
Well, Mary, we're different. I have my style of comedy, and Berle has everybody's. Go ahead, read on, Mary.
And now, Mary, for a few lines about your sister Babe.
Oh, read this slowly, Mary. That's the part that sends me, you know?
Your sister Babe still isn't engaged, and I think her appearance is against her.
Gee.
She always looks like she just got up.
What?
And in the morning, when she does get up, she looks like... But then, that's another letter.
Poor kid.
We thought Baby finally landed a fellow last week. For 7 straight nights, a college student took her out.
A college student took out Babe?
Mm. But the 8th night, he didn't show up. He called and said the initiation was over.
How do you like that?
That's all the news now, so we'll close. Your loving mother, LaVion Rose Livingston.
Mary, your mother is so funny. Do you think she'd consider writing some jokes for my television show?
For your television show? Well, she might, Jack, if you put my sister Babe on it.
Mary, if I have your sister Babe, I don't need jokes. Anyway, I'd like to ask her...
I'll answer the door, Jack. Be happy, go lucky, be happy, go lucky, strike, be happy. Oh, hello, Phil.
Hiya, Liv. How's the flower that bloomed in the May Company?
Fine, Phil, fine. Come on in.
Where's Jackson?
Oh, he'll be... Hey, Phil, you're wearing glasses.
Yeah, I decided I better get them to keep me out of trouble.
Why? What happened?
Well, a couple of days ago, Liv, I was riding down Hollywood Boulevard and I saw a cute little chick walking along and I... whistled at her.
Well, how did that get you into trouble?
It was Alice.
Oh, hello, Phil.
Hiya, Jackson. Hello, Roch. Happy birthday.
Thank you, Mr. Harris.
Here, Rochester, I brought you a present.
Thanks. What is it, hair tonic?
You can use it for that if you want happy hair.
Happy hair?
Hey, Jackson, I want to ask you something.
What is it, Phil?
Well, a couple of weeks from now, me and my boys have to be out of town, and I want to know, do you think that you could possibly do a program without us?
What did you say, Phil?
I want to know if you could do a program without me and my boys.
Well, Phil, I really don't know, but I'd be so grateful if you'd give me a chance to try. Believe me.
Wait a minute, Jackson. That's no altitude to take.
That's attitude. As far as I'm concerned, you can go right now. Altitude.
A natural mistake for a chap who's always high.
Okay. Now, look, Phil. Phil, where's this place that you and the boys may have to play?
Well, Jackson, we may be invited to play at the formal opening of a new incinerator that burns all the fish heads at Pismo Beach.
Well, congratulations, Phil. I think it's a step in the right direction. So take my advice. Oh, excuse me a minute. Hello?
One moment, please. I have a long-distance call from Las Vegas.
Las Vegas? Who can that be?
Hello?
Oh, hello, Dennis. What are you doing in Las Vegas?
Who's this?
Jack Benny, you called me.
I did. I thought I was putting nickels in a slot machine.
Oh, fine. Dennis, what are you doing in Las Vegas, anyway?
I'm up here sightseeing. Yesterday, I saw the Hoover vacuum cleaner factory.
The Hoover vacuum?
Oh,
Did I say Hoovier? Remember our old president, Herbert Hoovier?
No, that's Herbert Heaver.
Dennis, when you were in Las Vegas, you say you saw the Hoover vacuum cleaner factory?
Yeah, it sure is a funny-looking place. A big solid wall of cement with water on one side of it.
Oh, for heaven's sake, that's Hoover Dam. Dam.
Well, there's no need to get that mad about it.
I'm not mad. Dennis, who's in Las Vegas with you?
Oh, I'm up here with my mother. She's on our way to Detroit.
Detroit? Oh, is your mother going to pick up a new car?
5 of them. She drives the truck.
Now, stop that. I know you called up just to have some fun with me. You're not even in Las Vegas.
Oh, yes, I am in Las Vegas.
No, you're not.
I'm sorry, sir, but your 3 lemons are up.
What?
Now what do you got to say?
Nothing, believe me. Goodbye, Dennis.
Goodbye.
Mr. Day?
Yes, operator?
You're my favorite singer. Would you sing a song for me over the phone?
Sure. Lucky for you, I walked into a phone booth that had a piano.
The holly green, the ivy green, the prettiest picture you've ever seen is Christmas in Killarney with all of the folks at home. It's nice to know to kiss your beau while cuddling under the mistletoe, and Santa Claus, you know, of course, is one of the boys from home. The door is always open, the neighbors pay a call, and Father John, before he's gone, will bless the house and all. How grand it feels to click your heels and join in the fun of the jigs and reels. I'm handing you no blarney, the likes you've never known. It's Christmas in Killarney with all of the folks at home.
The holly green, the ivy green, the prettiest picture you've ever seen is Christmas in Killarney with all of the folks at home.
There was Cousin O'Flaherty, Uncle O'Shaughnessy, Michael, me brother, and Auntie McGee, and Father and Mother were all in a jitter when Terence the baby crawled under the tree.
It's nice, you know, to kiss your beau while cuddling under the mistletoe, and Santa Claus, you know, of course, is one of the boys from home.
'Twas Paddy Delahanty who dressed up like Santy and gave out the presents like he always does, but Johnny McGee, when he sat on his knee, tried to pull off his whiskers to see who it was.
The door is always open, the neighbors pay a call,
and Father John, before he's gone, will bless the house and all.
How grand it feels to click your heels and join in the fun of the jigs and reels.
I'm handing you no blarney, the likes you've never known. It's Christmas in Killarney with all of the folks at home.
How grand it feels to click your heels and join in the fun of the jigs and reels.
I'm handing you no blarney, the likes you've never known. It's Christmas in Killarney with all of the folks at home.
Jack, who was that on the phone before?
That was Dennis. He told me he was up in Las Vegas. I don't know whether to believe that kid or not. Once he called me up and told me he was in Tokyo, and I bawled him out. Boy, was I embarrassed when he put MacArthur on the phone. So you can't tell.
Say, Jack, I gotta run along now. Are you sure you don't want to come over and play canasta?
No, Mary. Thanks.
How about you, Phil?
Canasta? No, thanks, Liv. When I play cards, I just want to be dealt 5, then halt. That's enough. But I'll drop you by your house if you like.
Okay. Bye, Jack.
So long, Hoovier.
So long, fish head. Be happy, go lucky, be happy. Say, Rochester.
Yes, boss.
You can have the evening off if you... That he was upstairs when I called him. Never saw anybody leave so fast. But then he's going to his birthday party. Rochester, what'd you come back for?
I forgot my hair tonic.
Oh. Well, let's see. What'll I do tonight? I should read my television script, but I don't feel like memorizing now. I think I'll just go in the library and read a book. Let's see. There's some books here I haven't read. Here's Ernest Hemingway's new one, Across the River and Into the Trees. I hear that's great. Here's a new book by Gypsy Rose Lee, Across the Runway and Into the Tees. That ought to be interesting. No pictures. Hey, here's one I haven't read. A Cup of Coffee, a Sandwich, and Murder. Say, this is the book I heard about. It's supposed to be very exciting, too. It's got gangsters in it and everything. I think I'll read it. I'll sit over here by the fireplace. A Cup of Coffee, a Sandwich, and Murder. Chapter 1.
Although my story is an unusual one, it all took place in a typical American town. I was a typical American man in a typical American business, which was identified with my typical American name. I remember the day they put up the sign, Gundelfinger's Lunchroom. Yes, that's me, Charlie Gundelfinger. As the story opens, it is midnight, and my lunchroom is deserted, except for one lonely customer.
Yeah, it sure is a dreary night tonight, Curly. I wish I could close up and go home. What'll you have to eat?
Throw me one of them apples.
They're wax.
Oh. Hey, Charlie, look what's on top of one of them wax apples.
Yeah. Stupid worm. Come on, Curly, I want to go home. What'll you have to eat?
I don't know. What do you got?
Well, how'd you like some squaw baked in wine?
Nah. Have you got any ham hocks? Stewed in bourbon?
Nah, we're all out of ham hocks.
Good. Just bring me the juice.
Okay. Say, Curly, next week when you come in here, you won't know this lunchroom. It's gonna be real ritzy. New curtains and drapes and rugs on the floor. Nice new lampshades and everything.
It's about time this joint looks like an old incinerator at Pismo Beach.
Don't worry, I'm gonna fix everything. In fact, I've already hired the interior decorators. Say, Curly, hurry up and finish eating, will you? It's such a nasty night, I want to close up and go home.
I'll be through in a minute. How about a napkin?
Use the drapes. I'm going to get new ones anyway. Yes, sir, I can just see the way this place is going to...
What's the matter, Charlie? What are you staring at?
I was staring out the window. Two guys had just stepped off the curb and were crossing the street. I'd never seen them before. They looked tough, very tough. One of them looked exactly like Richard Widmark, courtesy of 20th Century Fox. They were coming this way.
What'll it be, gentlemen? I say, what'll it be, gentlemen? Gentlemen, what'll it be?
What are you shaking for, blue eyes? It ain't cold in here.
I'm getting ready to close up, gentlemen, so if you want something to eat, you better order it.
Hey, Sluggy.
What is it, Giggles?
Hoovier is in a hurry. Maybe we ought to slow him down.
Yeah, down.
Now, look, gentlemen, I don't want no trouble. What'll you have? You can have some ham and eggs or some corned beef hash or a mixed green salad. Ouch! Why did you slap me?
I don't like salads.
You don't?
No.
He thought he would antagonize me by blowing smoke in my face. But he was wrong. I liked it. He was smoking a Lucky Strike. Made of that fine, that light, that naturally mild tobacco. LSMFT. LSMFT. Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. So round, so firm.
Listen, you.
I'm not finished yet. So fully packed. So free and easy on the draw.
Now look, fellas. I want to close up this joint, so you better order and get out of here. And put that gun down.
Did you hear that, Slugger? Huh? Did you hear that? He wants me to put the gun down.
Yeah, down.
I was in a spot. The taller one was 5'10" and sinister. The shorter one was 5'6" and crazy. But crazy or not, he was a neat dresser. He even had a carnation in the hole in his head. In desperation, I looked toward my only customer, Curly. But he was no help. He was lying there under the table. I had put too much seasoning in the ham hock. I knew these men were tough and I'd have to bluff my way out. So I turned to the taller one and said,
"Now see here, mister, I want to ask you a question."
"Look, big man, I ask the questions around here, see? You just answer them, do as I tell you, see? If not, you'll get hurt, see? Now get me something to eat, see?
And be quick about it, look."
"Look."
"Where?"
"Shut up, Slugger. Now look, big man, I asked you to get me something to eat."
"Well, it's about time. You know, I have the reputation of serving the tastiest food in town."
"Oh, you do, eh? Okay, I'll make you a deal. If your food is as good as you say it is, we'll scram. But if it ain't, I'll blow your head off."
"Well, that's a fair deal." "What'll you have?"
"Throw me one of them apples."
When he asked for one of those wax apples, I knew I was in trouble. His crazy pal had eaten them all. I was afraid to look for the worm.
"Well, I'm waiting."
"I'm sorry, but wait a minute. What are you reaching in your back pocket for?"
"To get my handkerchief."
"Your handkerchief?"
"Yeah."
"Hmm. You must have a bad cold."
"Yeah, I just took those shots for it." "Oh, giggles. No wonder you was a panic in the streets."
"Now, look, I know what you guys want. You're a couple of gangsters. You're here to hold me up."
"Did you hear that, Slugger? The big man thinks we're here to hold him up."
"Yeah, up."
"Well, you got us wrong, Blue Eyes. We come in here to talk business with you."
"Business? With me?"
"Yeah. We heard you're gonna get this dump redecorated."
"Yes, I am. What's that got to do with you?"
"Well, we want to know something."
"What?"
"Who you getting your chintz from?"
"Chintz?"
"Yeah, and the silk lining for your drapes."
"I'm not gonna have them lined."
"Now listen, big man, you're gonna have drapes and you're gonna have them lined. And you're getting them from us, see?"
"Now look, fellas, you can't come in here and intimidate me. I'm gonna call the police."
"Okay, Blue Eyes. Go ahead, call the police."
"Well, I would, but I don't know the number."
"Oh, you don't know the number, huh? Well, maybe I could help you out."
"How can you dial the phone from way over there?"
"Stand aside and I'll show you."
vacation.
What? Go ahead, big man. Talk.
And talk fast. I'm bleeding.
Well, I'm not afraid of you guys anymore. You took three shots before and three shots now. You're out of bullets. I've got my gun, see? Come on, up with your hands, both of you.
Ah, you want to shoot it out, eh? Okay, hand me a gun, slugger.
Here you are.
Now take that. No, not that one, your real gun.
Oh, no, you don't. I got you guys covered. Take that.
No!
You got me, slugger. You got me. I'm dying, slugger. I knew the day would come. I knew I couldn't get away with it. Oh, everything's getting dark. I can't see. I'm dying, slugger. You gave me the kiss of death. And now there's no way out. Goodbye, slugger. I'm dying. Dying. Dying.
Well, fall down, you big ham.
Yeah, maybe this will help him.
No!
Yes, that's my story. I killed him. I'll do it again for the West Coast at 9:30. This is Charlie Gundelfinger saying good night, folks.
Ladies and gentlemen, the United States Treasury Department is conducting an intensified drive to sell more United States savings bonds. It's a terrific opportunity for you to create financial security and independence. If you haven't been buying savings bonds regularly, start now. Put more opportunity in your future. Invest in United States savings bonds. Thank you. Jack will be back in just a moment. But first, everybody, be happy, go lucky, and let's visit a happy wedding party.
Be happy, go lucky, be happy, go lucky strike. Be happy, go lucky strike today.
The bride and groom smoked Lucky Strike, so we filled up their carriage. For mildness and rich taste combined to make a lucky marriage.
We gave a shower for the bride, and we are proud to boast. The packs of Luckies that we brought are what she wanted most.
Be happy, go lucky, be happy, go Lucky Strike. Be happy, go lucky strike today.
Yes, light up a Lucky and enjoy the happy blending of perfect mildness and rich taste combined in one great cigarette, Lucky Strike. Perfect mildness? Remember, scientific tests confirmed by three independent consulting laboratories prove Lucky Strike is milder than any other principal brand. And you always get the full rich taste of fine tobacco, too, because LSMFT, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. So be happy, go lucky. Try a carton of Lucky Strike.
Be happy, go lucky, be happy, go Lucky Strike. Be happy, go lucky strike today.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank the fellow who looked like Richard Widmark for appearing here tonight through the courtesy of the studio that looks like 20th Century Fox. Dick, I want to thank you very much for being on my program tonight.
Well, I was happy to be with you, Jack, but there's one thing I'd like to ask you.
What's that?
When do I get paid?
Paid?
Yeah.
Good night, folks.
Hollywood, the Bill Harris, Alice Faye Show. For your enjoyment, here is the Phil Harris, Alice Faye Show. Written by Ray Singer and Dick Chevrolet, with Elliot Lewis, Walter Tetley, Robert North, Janine Roos, Ann Whitfield, Walter Sharp and his music, yours truly, Bill Foreman, and starring Alice Faye and Phil Harris. There have been rumors lately that Phil Harris doesn't have a sponsor. I should like to correct these rumors. He does have a sponsor, a very reputable company. Unfortunately, he's been forbidden to mention their name. This has bothered Phil to the extent where it's preying on his mind day and night. In fact, right now he's having a horrible nightmare about it.
Leave me alone.
Harris hasn't got a sponsor.
Stop it, everybody. Now stop it. Stop picking on me. I tell you, I have got a sponsor.
A likely story.
Frankie knows I have. Remley, tell him that I've got a sponsor. Tell him.
Don't talk to me, you unemployed bum.
I'm not unemployed.
Oh, are you kidding? If it wasn't for your wife being in burlesque, you'd starve.
My wife is not in burlesque. She just signed a contract by mistake. Alice, tell him you're not in burlesque. Go on, tell him, Alice.
The name is Boo Boo. Don't bother me, Buster. I gotta get ready for my bubble dance.
Alice, why are you dressed like that? You look awful.
It's all your fault, Philip. You're not working and she has to wear last year's burlesque costume. Look at it. It's full of patches.
Worse than that, she has to wear last year's bubbles. Vulcanized, yes.
Everybody's picking on me. Everybody except my children. They believe me. You know I got a sponsor, don't you, baby Alice?
Who is this man, Phyllis? He's our unsponsored father. Alice, did he ever have a job? I can't remember that far back. I'm only 8 years old.
Well, I did, too, have a job. And I had a sponsor, and I can prove it. First there was, smile a while, let a song be your style, use Fitch shampoo. And then there was, good health to all from Rexall.
And now there's, unemployment hits the spot. This guy's washed up. He's all shot. He can't get a job no how. They put him out to pasture now.
I wouldn't mind so much, but he's got such a lousy voice. For the last time, I'm telling you all that I got a sponsor.
Then why don't you mention his name on the air?
He won't let me. He threatened to cut me off the air if I ever mentioned the name of the company.
Well, you're not on the air now. Tell us the name of your sponsor.
Very well. The name of my sponsor is the company. How do you like that? They cut me off even in my dream.
Let's face it, Philip, you're no good to anybody anymore. You're like an old workhorse that's worn out. Why don't you do away with yourself?
I got a better idea. Let's break his leg and destroy him.
That's too cruel. Let's just push him off the top of this building. Grab him, Julius. Shove him, Willie. So long, Curly.
Get away from me. Stop pushing. Now get away from me. Stop pushing me. Look out. I'm falling.
Phil, stop screaming and wake up. Speak to me.
Speak to her? I just fell out of a 12-story building and this kid wants me to say hello.
You didn't fall out of any building.
Then what was that thud I just... Alice, don't tell me you fell off the runway.
Well, you fell out of bed. You must have had a nightmare.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I had a terrible dream. I dreamt that nobody had any use for me because they thought I didn't have a sponsor. Alice, this situation is getting me down.
Oh, why worry about it? You're getting paid every week. You've got a sponsor. Laugh it off when people say they don't believe it.
How can I laugh when inside my heart is being torn asunder? I ain't no clown like Paga Galotki.
I presume you mean Pagliacci.
Presume what you wish. I will say it as I wish. Alice, I've got something to do about this. I mean, it's a big thing. I can't just go around doing this. All of my friends are starting to shun me, and, well, some of the guys in the band are threatening to quit.
Well, your real friends won't quit you. They'll stick.
Well, how do I know? Hold it. I'll get that. Hiya, Frankie. It's good to see you.
It's good to see you, too, Curly, and here's my resignation.
You're resigning? Well, why?
I find it intolerable to be associated with a guy whose sponsor wants no part of it.
Oh. So you're off me too, huh, Remley? After all I've done for you. Oh, blow, blow, thou winter wind. Thou art not so unkind as man's ingratitude.
What was that?
Shakespeare's As You Like It, Act 2, Scene 7, Line 174. Any questions? Remley, how could you desert me?
I had to, Curly. This situation is unbearable. When I visit my friends, what can I say to them?
What you always say to them, that you spoke to their lawyer and he's framing some new evidence.
I don't mean those friends. I'm talking about my society friends.
Your society friends?
Yes. Why, do you realize Lady Invercliffe hasn't invited me to tea in over a fortnight?
All right, Remley.
And Lord Chumley. When he sees me coming, he deliberately steams up his monocle.
Yeah, I said okay,
and particularly
Remley,
do I miss the pig-sticking sessions with the Bengal Lantlers.
Egad, how devastating. Alice, did you hear that? Lieutenant Remley hasn't lanced a bagel in ages.
What are you talking about?
Like I told you, now Remley's even quitting me.
I have to. People ask me who our sponsor is, and I'm not allowed to tell them. It's humiliating.
Oh, Alice Remley's right. And something's got to be done about the situation.
Well, if you feel that way, Phil, why don't you go down and talk to them at RCA?
What have they got to do with it?
They're our sponsors.
Are you sure? I could have sworn it was Swanson's chicken fricassee. With that down-home gravy.
Now, you know it isn't. Now, come on, let's go down and see Mr. Scott at RCA, and maybe you can talk him into letting you mention the name of his company.
Okay, the way I feel, I'll try anything. Come on, let's go.
You know, Phil, maybe we're making a mistake coming down here. You know, Mr. Scott said he never wanted us to be seen around the company's office. He doesn't want people to know that we're associated in any way.
Oh, nonsense. He loves me. Come on, let's go in. Hi, Mr. Scott. We just came...
Harris! I thought I told you people never to show up here.
But Mr. Scott...
Quick, close that door and turn the light out. I'll pull the shades down.
Mr. Scott, what are you doing?
Didn't I tell you people never to come near this building? Did anyone see you come in?
Of course not. I took all the precautions according to Clause 27 in our contract. When I left my house, I took a cab for four blocks, changed to a bus, went to Azusa, doubled back through Pomona, put my disguise on and entered the building from the rear, walked up the stairs on my hands so I wouldn't leave any footprints, and here I am.
And we cut your secretary's tongue out so she can't talk. And here it is.
Now, don't be facetious. Our agreement didn't call for any measures as drastic as that. All the contract says is that if you're ever seen in the vicinity of the building, our guards have the right to shoot you on sight.
If you want my opinion, I think this whole thing is ridiculous, Mr. Scott.
I am not interested in the opinion of a burlesque queen, boo-boo.
For the last time, I'm not a burlesque queen. I signed that contract with Milligan's Burlesque by mistake.
Forget about it, will you, Alice? Look, Mr. Scott, you gotta do me a big favor. I'm a very unhappy man. And, well, there's one thing you can do that will make life worthwhile for me.
What's that?
Let me do a commercial on the show.
Definitely no.
Well, why not? All I'm asking for is one crummy commercial. Gee whiz, what can it hurt?
The company.
Harris, this is one thing I'll never agree to.
Curly, let me handle it.
Mr. Scott.
What's on your mind, chowderhead?
As you know, I am not the type to resort to blackmail. But if you don't let us do a commercial, I'll be forced to tell everybody what a practical joker you are around the office.
What are you talking about?
Your secretary told me that every time she sits on your lap, you spread your knees apart and she falls on the floor. How hokey can you get, Scott?
I never spread my knees apart. She's never been on my lap.
And I know why, too. She told me you have water on the knee and she keeps floating away.
Oh, what did I do to deserve this? I'm a busy man. I've got problems in the office. You people come in and drive me crazy. I'm having a little trouble with my wife.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear you're having trouble with your wife, Mr. Scott. Can we help?
Yeah, is there anything we can do to widen the rift?
I'm sorry to hear that you're getting a divorce, Mr. Scott.
Well, thank you.
I'm not getting a divorce! We're just having a little spat about her singing.
Oh, does your wife sing?
Yes, she does.
What kind of a voice does your wife have, Mr. Scott?
Well, it's hard to describe. Sort of high and shrill and... Well, when she sings, it sounds like her corset is too tight. She wants me to get her a job as a professional singer, and I don't have time for such nonsense.
Hey, wait a minute, Mr. Scott. Maybe we can help you. You see, we're in show business, and, well, we know everybody. We'll get your wife a job singing.
Would you?
Well, that would be wonderful. I'll call her right now and tell
her. Wait a minute, not so fast. Now, if we get your wife a job, you got to do us a favor. You got to let us do a commercial on the show.
Well, it might even be worth that. All right, Harris, get my wife a job as a singer, and I'll let you do the commercial.
Oh, thank you. Scotty, you go call your wife, tell her to come to our house right away, and we'll get her started on her professional career. Come on, Alice, let's get home. Thanks. So long, Scotty.
Oh, it's really awfully nice of you people to help me out with my singing career.
Oh, that's perfectly all right, Mrs. Scott. It's a pleasure. Alice is on the phone now calling some of our radio friends.
Oh. Yeah, we'll get you a job in no time.
You know, I'd like to hear you sing something, Mrs. Scott.
Oh, would you? Very well, then. Me, 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 me. Me, me. Me, 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 me.
Choke it a little, honey. I think you're carbureted.
Will you keep quiet, Remley? You have no appreciation of fine music. Mrs. Scott, that was the best rendition of Goodnight Irene I ever heard.
I haven't started to sing yet. I'm just warming up.
Well, get out of the bullpen and get started.
I have to vocalize first.
Naturally. Now, go ahead. May we hear you sing, Mrs. Scott? That ain't gonna get it, honey. You see, you're singing from up there. And the voice must come from down here.
Oh, of course. You mean from the abdominal region.
Yeah, that's it. Now, shall we try it again?
Right.
much more abominable. But you see, Mrs. Scott, you still don't have those pear-shaped tones like, watch this. How now, brown cow? How did that sound?
Like a brown cow singing.
Please keep out of this. Look, Mrs. Scott, you'll never get any place with those two songs you just sang. You see, you've got to sing something that has a little meaning and depth to it. Something like The Thing.
What is The Thing?
Oh, here's somebody that hasn't heard it yet. What an opportunity. While I was walking down the beach one bright and sunny day, I saw a great big wooden box a-floating in the bay. I pulled it in and opened it up, and much to my surprise, ooh, I discovered a... Right before my eyes, ooh, I discovered a... Right before my eyes, I picked it up and ran to town as happy as a king. I took it to a guy I knew who'd buy most anything. But this is what he hollered at me as I walked in his shop. Ooh, get out of here with that before I call a cop. Ooh, get out of here with that before I call a cop. I turned around and got right out of running for my life. And then I took it home with me to give it to my wife. But this is what she hollered at me as I walked in the door. Oh, get out of here with that. And don't come back no more. Ooh, get out of here with that. And don't come back no more. I wandered all around the town until I chanced to meet a hobo who was looking for a handout on the street. He said he'd take most any old thing, he was a desperate man. But when I showed him the, he turned around and ran. Oh, when I showed him the, he turned around and ran. I wandered on for many years, a victim of my fate, until one day I came upon St. Peter at the gate. And when I tried to take it inside, he told me where to go. Oh, get out of here with that, and take it down below. Oh, get out of here with that, and take it down below. The moral of this story is, if you're out on the beach, and you should see a great big box, and it's within your reach, don't ever stop and open it up. That's my advice to you, 'cause you'll never get rid of the, no matter what you do. No, you'll never get rid of the, no matter what you do.
Mr. Harris.
Yes?
Mr. Harris, I don't want to be nosy, but whatever in the world was in that box?
You weren't paying attention, dear. Don't you remember when I opened the box, the first thing I saw was the thing. Now, the thing is... Well, it's... It... Look, honey, it's on a Victor record. Find out on your own time. Now, how about let's get back to your singing.
Well, would you like to hear something from my repertoire?
Oh, I thought you worked alone. But I would love to hear you sing, wouldn't you, Frankie?
Not particularly.
Never. Mrs. Scott, don't pay any attention to this boy. Look, I'd love to hear you sing something. Go ahead, please.
Very well, then. Oh, sweet mystery of life, at last I've found thee. Oh, I know at last the secret of it all.
All right, that's enough, lady. Cut. Mrs. Scott, That was sensational. That was
Mr.
without
Harris,
a...
Mr. Harris, what's going on? What was that awful racket in here?
What do you mean, racket? The lady was singing.
Is that what it was? I thought you still blew up.
All right, no cracks, Julius. This is my boss's wife that was singing.
Oh, your boss's wife,
That's
huh?
right, son, yeah. Now, tell me honestly, did you ever hear anything like that before?
Not since my aunt's tomcat got caught in the garbage disposal.
How dare you compare my voice with that of a tomcat?
You pay no attention to him, Mrs. Scott. There ain't a tomcat alive that can sing like you. Continue, Mrs. Cat. Mrs. Scott.
Oh, Mr. Harris, I have a splendid suggestion. Why don't you and I do a duet?
This is a splendid suggestion?
You like it, son?
Are you kidding? You've just won the Pulitzer Prize for the most nauseating idea of the year. Well, I can't wait to hear this.
Well, never mind. It'll be great. Now, hear this. It'll be great, though. I have news for you, Julius. Our voices will blend beautifully together. Hmm. Now then, Mrs. Scott, what song would you like to have me drown you out in?
Well, how about the Indian Love Call?
An excellent choice. Very apropos. You see, Mrs. Scott, I am part redskin.
Really? It's not noticeable.
Look at his nose.
I never mind adult dialogue. I'm anxious to hear this duet.
All right, you're gonna hear it. We're gonna start right away. Now you go first, Mrs. Scott, and then I shall join in.
Very well.
When I'm calling you,
oh, will you answer to?
Certainly is.
What's the matter with you? You're nuts or something? That was beautiful, and it was a beautiful rendition of the Indian Love Call. How'd it sound, Julius?
Like it was being scalped.
Please be quiet, Sonny. Now, let's continue, Mr. Harris.
But if when you hear
my love call ringing dear,
and I hear your answering echo so clear,
then I will know our love will come true. You'll belong to me. I'll belong to you.
That was lovely, Nelson.
Oh, I'm nothing without you, Jeanette.
Are you through, Fred? Or do you and Ginger want to go into your dance now? Julius, will you please get out of here? This is very important to Mrs. Scott.
Yes.
I'm auditioning her voice so I can get her a job as a chartreuse. Now beat it, will you?
Well, what do you think of my voice, Mr. Harris?
Well, pardon me, Mrs. Scott, but this requires a consultation. Will you come here a minute, Remley? Pardon us.
Come here.
Look, Frankie, I know it's bad, but we got to get her a job in show business if we want to do a commercial. Let's try to get her in some nightclub. You know, a nice, dark place with bad acoustics.
Curly, they don't come that dark.
Well, maybe we can get her on the stage, someplace like the Philharmonic or the Concert Hall.
That's
or
it,
get
the stage. And I know just the guy who'll give her a job. Curly, you keep her here till I get back, and I guarantee I'll have her in show business.
Well, hurry up.
I'm glad you dropped in, Mr. Scott. You know, Phil heard your wife sing, and he thinks she has a wonderful voice.
You like it, Harris? Why, it's heavenly. In fact, Frankie's out now signing her up with a Philharmonic
or one
of the...
Curly, it's all set. Oh, hiya, Scotty, and congratulations. I just got your wife a solid 52 weeks in show business.
Well, that's wonderful, Remley. A concert tour?
You might call it that. I wouldn't, but you might.
Remley, what kind of a job did you get her?
Well, her new boss is outside. I'll call him in and let him explain it to you. Hey, Milligan, come in here.
Milligan?
Hello, hello, hello there. Hello there. Hello there. Hey, 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 everybody.
Well, what are you doing here?
Well, if it ain't Boo Boo Fay, the little Egypt from the atomic age.
Mr. Milligan, I want you to...
Ah, let me look at you, Blondie. Ah, you're getting nice and softy, honey. Yes, sir, about 5 more pounds and you'll be ready for Milligan's meaty mamas.
Meaty mamas? Harris, who is this man?
The name's Rocket Mouth Milligan, friend. Owner and operator of the world's finest burlesque show this side of the Rocky Mountain.
What? You own a burlesque show?
That's right, Grandma. Well, Remy, where is she? Where's the new star of my show?
What new star?
She, Emmy Shakin' Scott.
Who?
Yes, sir, Remley told me she's the hottest thing to hit the runway since Tassel Spinell.
Mr. Remley, what have you done? Mr. Milligan, the deal is off.
What have you got to do with it? Who are you?
I'm Shammy Shakin' Scott. No! No, I mean I'm Mrs. Scott. I'm the one Mr. Remley signed for your show.
You're... Remley, what are you trying to pull?
Well, you told me you liked the meaty.
Look, I like a meaty, but this dame abuses the privilege. Because she spread out all over the place.
This is the most humiliating thing that ever happened to me. Take me home, Clyde. Imagine me in burlesque, dressed in one of those scanty costumes.
Oh, what a horrible picture. I mean, what a horrible thought.
Mr. Scott, I want you to know that I had nothing to do with
Harris,
this.
Harris, I am a peaceful man. I don't believe in resorting to violence. But...
Now, take it easy, Mr. Scott.
Stop backing away and let me at you. Let me hit you once. All I want to do is spread your nose all over your face.
Mr. Scott!
Ladies and gentlemen and boys and girls, saving bonds as a Christmas present are a gift that keeps on giving. For every $3 invested now, $4 will be returned in just 10 years. Remember, there's no safer means of saving than through the purchase of United States saving bonds. Thank you and good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
This program was produced and directed by Paul Phillips. Included in today's cast were Lois Corbett, Gail Gordon, and Dick Lane. The part of Frankie Remley was played by Elliot Lewis, and Julius was played by Walter Tetley. And remember, three chimes mean good times on NBC.
Douglas Fairbanks stars on Theater Guild later on NBC.
Hello again, this is Buck Benny speaking. Welcome to another episode of the Jack Benny Show. This episode is special because it features fighter Joe Louis. And it's neat to hear folks that, like, besides, I mean, we're used to hearing guests like Bob Hope or Bing Crosby, but it's neat to hear a guest truly of the time that really makes you think, wow, I've never heard this person before. Like Joe Louis, maybe you've read about him or heard about him, but you've never maybe heard his voice, and now this gives you a chance to hear it, and it certainly gives the episode more weight and more vintage feel to have someone of Joe Louis's stature on it. It's always fun, too, to hear how a sports figure reads their lines and things. It's always a little stilted, but he does a good job, so it's neat to have Joe Louis on this episode.
The Jack Benny Program, presented by
LSMFT, LSMFT, LSMFT.
Of course.
You said it.
Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. So round, so firm, so fully packed. So free and easy on the draw.
In a cigarette, it's the tobacco that counts. And Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. Mr. Robert N. Cooper, independent tobacco auctioneer of Washington, North Carolina, said,
"For many years at the auctions, I've noticed that the Lucky Strike buyers have maintained the same high standard of quality. Yes, I've seen the fine, light tobacco sold American again and again. So, for my own cigarette, I pick Lucky's."
Quote, "I've seen the fine, light tobacco sold American again and again." Unquote. Yes, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. So smoke that smoke of fine tobacco, Lucky Strike.
At 41, sold American.
Strike Program, starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Larry Stevens, and yours truly, Don Wilson. Ladies and gentlemen, as you probably remember, last week Jack Benny was sick in bed. However, he's up and around now, so let's go out to his home in Beverly Hills. Jack is eating his breakfast.
I'm glad you came by, Mary. Have a cup of coffee.
No, thanks. How are you feeling, Jack?
Oh, much better. Naturally, it was quite a shock being robbed of $10,000, but I'm all right now.
Well, I just dropped by to say hello. I'm going over to the club to play some golf.
It's certainly a lovely day for it. You know, Mary, I think I'll take up golf again.
Oh, Jack, you shouldn't play golf. You take it too seriously. You always get so mad.
I do not.
You do, too. Every time you miss a putt, you accuse somebody of moving the hole.
I only did that once.
And another thing, you never keep your mind on the game. What about that time you got in the sand trap? You were there for 2 hours.
Well, a lot of people play in the sand trap.
With a pail and shovel?
Oh, stop, will you? I wish Rochester would bring my toast. I've almost finished my breakfast.
Say, Jack, what's that little thing there on the table?
This? Oh, it's a light fuse. I took it out so there wouldn't be any electricity in the kitchen.
Well, for heaven's sake, why?
I'm punishing Rochester. Twice this week he came out of the kitchen and left the light on.
But, Jack, shutting off the electricity...
I know what I'm doing.
What's the matter? You're still coughing.
Well, I'm not completely well yet, Mary, but I'll be all right. Oh, by the way, here's that book you were reading to me the other day. Read some more, will you, while I'm eating?
Okay. Now, let's see. Where did I stop? Oh, here it is. For 2 hours, the crippled submarine had lain helplessly on the bottom. The men trapped inside were gripped with fear and despair. The air was so heavy...
Here's your toast, Mr. Benny.
My toast? Well, it's about time, Rochester. What in the world took you so long?
Have you ever tried making toast with sunshine and a magnifying glass?
Oh.
How about giving me back that fuse now, boss?
Well, do you think you've learned your lesson?
No, but the icebox is defrosted and that ain't gonna help the food.
Oh, my goodness, I forgot all about that. Is all the food spoiled?
Well, not all, but you know that fish you bought for tomorrow night?
Yes.
Well, he ain't gonna make it.
Oh. Well, would the fish be all right if we had it tonight?
Boss, you couldn't eat that fish if you cooked it in life, boy.
Then just throw it out. Here's the fuse. Hurry and put it back. And take that miner's lamp off your hat.
Yes, sir.
Now finish reading the book, Mary.
Okay. The air was so heavy that breathing was labored. A violent current caught the submarine and rolled it to one side, spilling the groggy men on the floor. It took almost all their strength to...
Answer the door, Rochester.
Answer the door.
Quiet, quiet, Polly.
Yeah, you ain't paying me.
Go ahead, Mary. Go ahead, finish the book. Go ahead.
Okay. It took almost all their strength to rise to their feet. Every man knew that hope of rescue was fading.
Gee.
Then suddenly they heard a faint tapping on the outside of the sub. Tap, tap. Tap, tap, tap. Tap, tap. Tap, tap, tap. At that instant, every man knew that Lucky Strike means fine tobacco.
Mary, you know it doesn't say that.
It does, too, right here.
Where? Oh, yes. I loaned that book to Don Wilson, and he penciled it in. Go on, Mary. I want to find out what happened. It's really exciting.
A look of hope came into the men's eyes as the tapping continued.
Pardon me, boss, but Inspector Flanagan is here to see you.
Oh, the detective. Excuse me, Mary. Hello, Inspector.
Hello, Mr. Benny. I just dropped in to talk to you again about the robbery.
Good, good. Come on, sit over here by the window.
Yeah, thanks.
Inspector, don't you ever have your oil changed?
Huh?
Nothing, nothing. How are you coming along on the case?
Well, I came to tell you that I thought I caught the guy that robbed you. He fitted the description precisely.
He did?
Yeah, he had a cauliflower ear, broken nose, scar on his cheek, and a little mole on his chin.
You a Scotchman or something?
I'm from Brooklyn. But he wasn't the guy that robbed you of the $10,000.
What'd you say?
He wasn't the guy that robbed you of the $10,000.
How'd you find out?
Well, I searched him and he only had $9,870.
Oh, well, I might as well tell you, Inspector. The man who robbed me called up and threatened my life. So I need a bodyguard and... Inspector! Inspector! Twinkle Toes! Some detective. The robber calls me up, threatens to kill me. I tell the detective, and he walks out.
Maybe he went to the florist.
Yeah. Mary, there's no time for jokes. Oh, Rochester.
Yes, boss?
Rochester, my life is in danger. I might get shot at, and I need a bodyguard.
Don't look at me.
Rochester, you're not a coward, are you?
More than that, I'm a careful coward.
Well, anyway, I didn't mean you. I wondered if you knew anyone who'd be a good bodyguard.
Well, now, let me see. I got it. You know, boss, Joe Lewis is in town.
Joe Lewis? The heavyweight champion? Rochester, I could never get him for a bodyguard.
I think you could if you worked it right, boss. I was talking to him the other day, and he told me he wants to be a radio comedian.
Uh-huh.
So if you let him think that maybe he could be one, he'd come over and talk to you.
Yeah?
Then all you gotta do is keep him here and stick close to him. Amalgamate, boss, amalgamate!
By golly, Rochester, that may be it. Why don't you call him up?
Better than that, boss, I'll go over and see him personally.
Good, good, and hurry. Gee, Mary, this may be the solution to all my worries. Joe Lewis for a bodyguard. Go on, finish reading the book for me, will you?
Okay. A look of hope came into the men's eyes as the tapping continued. The air was so bad now that the breathing was almost impossible. In just a few seconds, it would be too late.
Oh, my goodness.
Suddenly, the steel hatch clanged open, and a blast of cool, fresh air revived the stricken men. The rescue device had worked. They were saved.
Oh, boy.
And thus ended another hair-raising adventure of our hero, Tom Swift.
Hot ziggity. What a guy. And you're always talking about little women. Why, if they were just
hello,
more...
Hello, Mr. Benny. Hello, Miss Livingston.
Hello, Larry.
Hello, Larry.
The door was open, so I just came on in. How are you feeling, Mr. Benny?
A lot better, kid. Thanks for asking.
I had to ask. It's in my contract.
Oh, yes.
Say, Mr. Benny, I've got a swell song for next Sunday's program. Would you like to hear it?
I sure would, kid. Go ahead and sing it.
All right.
Oh, boy, that Tom Swift. He led a life just like I did. Jack Benny and his electric rifle. Jack Benny in the darkness.
Just kiss me once, then kiss me twice, then kiss me once again. It's been a long, long time. Haven't felt like this, my dear, since can't remember when. It's been a long, long time. You'll never know how many dreams I dreamed about you, or just how empty then kiss me twice, then kiss me once again. It's been a long, long time. My dreams have been so empty, dear, without you. So kiss me once, then kiss me twice, then kiss me once again. It's been a long, long time.
That's very good, Larry. Use that number on the show.
Okay, Mr. Benny. Well, I've got to go now. I promised my wife I'd help her with the housework.
Oh, that's the spirit, Larry. You're really starting your married life off right.
That's what her mother keeps telling me.
Oh, so that's it. Look, kid, you tell her mother to keep her...
Jack!
I'm only trying to advise them.
Well, you're advising them all wrong. Mothers know best. For instance, Jack, take my mother.
I will not.
Jack. What I'm trying to say is that my father always helped my mother with the house cleaning.
Mary, when your mother grabs your father by the back of the neck and wipes the floor with him, that's not house cleaning. Believe me. Besides, how can she get him in all the corners? And another thing about your mother...
for the million things she gave me...
Polly.
Well, I've got to run along now, Mr. Benny.
Okay, so long, kid.
So long.
Jack, I know you don't like Mama, but I wish you wouldn't talk about her in front of people.
Oh, Mary, I'm only kidding. If I didn't like your mother, would I have her picture hanging in my living room?
You only hung it up when you lost the target to your dart game.
You nearly lost that gag, too, there. Mary, I'm improving, too. Last night when I was playing, I got one chin, one ear, and three noses. I'm getting better all the time.
Answer the door, Rochester. Answer the door.
Polly, Rochester isn't here.
Oh.
Come in. Oh, hello, Don. Come on in.
Hello, Jack, Mary.
Hi, Don.
I'm glad to see you looking better, Jack. Must have been quite a shock being robbed of $10,000.
Yeah, I was ribbed about it, too. Yes, it was, but I'm feeling fine now. By the way, Don, would you like a cup of coffee?
No, thank you.
Works for me. Buys his coffee at the drugstore.
Well, Jack, I'm going to run along or I'll never get to that golf game in.
Oh, are those your clubs, Mary? You know, I play golf occasionally, but just walking around the course doesn't keep me in trim. I like a game where there's a lot of jumping around.
You mean tennis?
No, checkers.
No, I thought your fingertips looked a little muscle-bound there. Don, you probably don't like golf because you don't play it well.
What do you mean I don't play it well? Why, just last week I was in a tournament. We were approaching the 18th hole, and there I was on the edge of the green. Mm-hmm. The whole tournament was at stake, and I couldn't make up my mind which club to use. But my caddy, he knew what to do.
What did he hand you?
A Lucky Strike cigarette.
A Lucky Strike cigarette, but what about your niblick?
You don't nibble it, you smoke it.
Now cut that out! Don, use my rider. Don, what happened? Don, what happened after you smoked the Lucky Strike?
Well, Jack, from then on, my nerves were so calm, it was easy. I got on the green, bent over, and with one twist of the wrist, I flipped it right in the cup.
The ball?
No, the ashes.
Very clever, Don, but I can't understand why you always come in here and try to sell me Lucky Strikes. I'm sold on them. Believe me, Don, I'm... Excuse me a minute. Hello? Yes, yes. Well, maybe so, but I thought that... Well, if you think so, okay. But wouldn't it be better if I just... Well, all right, if you want it that way. Goodbye. Now, Don, as I started to tell you...
Jack, who was that?
My press agent, Steve Bradley. You know, he used to talk so fast, I couldn't understand him.
Well, I'm going out now and play a game of golf.
I'll go with you, Mary. So long, Jack.
So long, Don. Goodbye, Mary. Have a good time.
I will.
Gee, I wonder how Rochester's making out with Joe Lewis. I hope he can trick him into coming over here and be my bodyguard. I guess Rochester will know how to handle it. He always does.
I'm sure glad I caught you at home, Joe.
Why, I'm glad you came over, Rochester.
You know, Joe, so many things have happened since I saw you last, I don't know where to begin.
Well, there's no hurry, Rochester. Would you like another drink?
Well, I had two already.
One more won't hurt you.
Okay, pour it out. Thanks.
Rochester, have you ever thought about being a prize fighter?
No, I'm just drinking this milk to be friendly. Now, Joe, let's get down to business. You know, it's been rumored around you'd like to be a big comedian.
That's right. I want to make people laugh. I've been wanting to do that for years.
Well, Joe, if you want to make people laugh, you've been going about it the wrong way.
Who told you that?
Max Smelling, Tony Galeno, Jim Braddock, and Buddy Bear. That's who.
Well, them fellas have no sense of humor.
Well, you know, it's pretty hard to laugh with a referee counting over you.
I wouldn't know. That never happened to me.
Never?
Never.
Joe, remember that first fight you had with Max Smelling?
Mm-hmm.
What happened in the 12th round? What happened?
That's the one page I tore out of my scrapbook.
Anyway, Joe, if you want to be a big comedian, Mr. Benny's the man to get you started.
Do you think so?
He'll not only get you started, he'll stick close to you. Yes, sir. Awful close.
Well, this is going to be a lifesaver.
You ain't kidding. Come on, let's go over to Mr. Benny's house and talk to him.
Okay, I'll get my hat and coat.
Don't forget your gloves.
I got them right here in my pocket.
Not the social ones, the business ones, the big ones, the fat ones. You know, the fighting ones. Come on, Joe, let's go.
Gee, it's 20 minutes to 7. It's dark out and Rochester isn't back yet. That robber did threaten me. Maybe I ought to hold these darts in my hand just in case. I wonder if... Well, another nosy. Doggone, I wish that the... That must be Rochester. Come in!
Hiya, Jackson. What are you doing up so late?
Oh, hello, Phil. I'm glad you dropped by.
Well, I can only stay a minute. I just came over to invite you to a costume party I'm throwing Saturday night.
A costume party?
Yeah, and Alice is going to put on a little girl's outfit and be little Bo Peep.
Aw, that's cute. What are you going to be, Phil?
I'm going to put light bulbs in my ears and come as a pinball machine.
A pinball machine?
Yeah, by 11 o'clock, I'm tilted anyway.
Oh, You know, these costume parties always throw me. I never know what to be.
Why don't you spruce up a little bit and come as Father Time?
Don't be funny. Come on in, Phil. We'll sit down and talk, huh? Oh, there's the phone. Excuse me. Hello?
Hello, is my daddy there?
Your daddy? Oh, is this Phil Harris, a little girl?
Uh-huh. Is this Mr. Benny?
It sure is.
Oh, Mr. Benny, I'm sorry about you being robbed of $10,000. My daddy said it was your own fault.
My fault? Hmm?
Yes, my daddy says if you paid him what he's worth, you wouldn't have all that money lying around.
Oh, I see.
Can I talk to my daddy now?
Yeah, just a minute, honey. Phil is for you. It's your little girl.
Okay. Hello, honey.
Hello, hotshot.
Anything wrong, baby?
Uh-huh. I dropped my dolly on the sidewalk and it's all broken.
Oh, well, that's a shame. Which dolly was it?
The pretty one with the long eyelashes.
And the curly blonde hair?
Yes, the one you said looks just like you.
Well, Dawadi will get you another one just like me.
Oh, goody. When are you coming home?
Right away.
Well, Mommy wants you to stop by the store and get a loaf of bread, a head of lettuce, and some corn.
All right, honey. Does she want corn on the cob or canned corn?
Mommy says when it comes to corn, to leave that up to you.
Oh, well, okay, darling. I'll get it. Goodbye.
Bye, hotshot.
Gee, Phil, your daughter's so cute. How old is she?
I don't know, Jackson, but last year she was 3.
Oh, well, then she's 4 now.
Could be. It could be.
Yes, sir, they sure grow up, don't they?
Oh, boss, he's here.
He is, Rochester?
Yeah, he's waiting in the den.
Oh, excuse me a minute, will you, Phil?
Yeah, I gotta go anyway. So long, Jackson.
So long, Phil. Rochester, have Joe Lewis come in.
Okay, but remember, boss, he don't know he's gonna be your bodyguard.
Yeah.
He only came over here because he thinks you're going to get him started as a comedian.
I know.
So make him think he's funny.
I will. Don't worry. Call him in.
Yes, sir. Come on in, Joe. Joe, I'd like you to meet Mr. Jack Benny.
Pleased to meet you, Mr. Benny.
Pleased to meet you. What a delivery. Oh, boy. How do you feel, Joe? Hmm?
Oh, fine.
Fine. That's a honey. Anybody else would have said pretty good, but you ad-libbed fine. Oh, boy, what a gem.
Boss, don't overdo it.
Say, Joe, how long have you been out here in California? That's good.
I haven't said anything yet.
I was still laughing at fine, you know. That was dynamite, huh?
Well, boss, I'll leave you two alone to discuss business.
All right, Rochester. Say, Joe, I've got a little proposition to make to you.
What's the proposition?
Well, you see, I'm a little more experienced as a comedian than you are, so anyone ever starts pulling jokes at your expense, well, I'll sort of help you out, you see?
Mm-hmm.
And naturally, you're a little younger and stronger than I am, so anyone starts punching me or picking a fight with me, you'll help me out.
But, Mr. Benny, why should anybody want to start a fight with you?
Because I'm such a heel. I mean, you see, Joe, there's so many people who are jealous of me.
But I thought everybody liked you. You're so nice and so kind and so free with your money.
Yeah.
I thought that was funny. Why didn't you laugh?
Oh, yes, free with my money. Ha ha. Well, Joe... Joe, getting down to business, how would you feel about doing comedy on my program?
I like it very much.
Well, let's discuss this thing thoroughly before... I wonder who that can be. Oh, Joe, would you mind taking a little walk with me?
Where to?
To the front door. Come on, Joe.
Aren't you crowding me a little bit, Mr. Benny?
Oh, pardon me. Just a minute.
Okay, Benny, you asked me.
What?
I told you what had happened if you blabbed to the cops about me sticking you up, and now I'm going to give it to you. Take that.
Ooh.
And that.
Ooh. Joe, he's beating me up. Fight with him.
Oh, I can't fight with just anybody. Who did he ever lick?
I mean, that's not important now.
Squeal on me, will you, Benny? Take that.
Ooh.
Another nosy.
Polly, you're supposed to be on my side.
Take that.
Ooh.
And that.
Ooh. Joe, please don't just stand there. Please do something.
But, Mr. Benny, I can't fight with an unknown. He would have to get a reputation for himself.
Well, he doesn't have to get it on me, for goodness sake. Look,
take that.
Out.
And that.
Oh, stop.
And that.
Stop for a few minutes. Today is Armistice Day. Joe, help me.
I'm warning you for the last time, Benny. The next time you open your mouth to the cops, you're going to get more than this.
Yes, sir.
And just so you don't forget it, take this.
Ooh.
Mr. Benny. Get up and go to your corner. Mr. Benny, get up. Well, if you don't, there's only one thing left for me to do. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine.
Ladies and gentlemen, many of our boys entered the service right from school or put on their uniforms when they were just getting started in business. What will happen to that foundation? Will it be affected by their long absence from civilian life? We hope not, because our serviceman or woman acquired skills, training, and experience which should eventually qualify him or her for a better peacetime job than before. And all service jobs are related to civilian work in some way or other. So the outlook is most encouraging. And we know that in the future, employers will take advantage of this added asset. Thank you.
Jack, we'll be back in just a minute. But first, here's my good friend, Effie Boone.
At 44,
the quality of your Lucky Strike cigarette can be summed up in five simple words. Lucky Strike means fine tobacco.
That's right. L-S-M-F-T.
Yes, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. The finer, the lighter, the naturally milder Lucky Strike tobacco. The kind of tobacco that means real deep-down smoking enjoyment for you.
Yes, sir. L-S-M-F-T.
Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. So smoke that smoke of fine tobacco, Lucky Strike. So round, so firm, so fully packed. So free and easy on the draw.
The famous tobacco auctioneers heard on tonight's program are Mr. L.A. Speed Riggs of Goldsboro, North Carolina. And Mr. F.E. Boone of Lexington, Kentucky.
Sold American.
Basil Rysdale speaking for the makers of Lucky Strike. L-S-M-F-T. L-S-M-F-T. L-S-M-F-T.
A fact known the world over. Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. So round, so firm, so fully packed, so free and easy on the draw.
Joe,
you can stop already. I'm feeling better. Anyway, I got to go to the Maskers now, do a show at 6 p.m. on another network. Good night, folks.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.